Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Show must go on. Amen. It's been a journey from the start, from the get-go. Everybody has a story to tell. And my story was written in the heart of God. I was born on the west side of San Antonio, Texas. It was a rough part of San Antonio. And I began to experiment with drugs at a very, very young age. I was 12 years old when I started smoking pot and getting drunk in my neighborhood. And, you know, it started. It seemed like at first it was okay, but everything that I've ever put my hands on, I got hooked on. They said you couldn't get hooked on weed, and I got hooked on weed. I smoked it from the morning I got up to the time that I went to bed. But, you know, something began to happen in my life. It was gradual. It didn't come in all at once. It was a gradual thing. I started smoking pot and getting drunk. And later on, I was in the 70s. Acid hallucinogens were real popular in San Antonio. And I began to take hallucinogens. And then one day at the age of 17, I was introduced to heroin. And never in my whole life did I think that a few drops of heroin would drag me through the streets of San Antonio, Texas. I got hooked on it, and I began to choplift. I began to steal. I began to do everything I could under the sun, and looking for a way out, desperate, in and out. You know, there were times in my life where I could stay off it for a little bit, but it would always draw me back, and I was off to the races again. Once I opened that door the first time, I was off to the races again. And finally, I got touched when I was 25 years old. The Lord became real in my life. I went through a ministry in San Antonio, Texas, and it was there that the Lord became real in my life. The Spirit of God came upon my life, And it was something beautiful. And I don't know if I can say that I was ready or not ready. I can't really say that. But I just know that I gradually went back. I wasn't ready to be integrated back into society. I left the program after a month, and it was a couple of days later I was hooked again. I was out there. I am a person that had tried basically every man-made program. I tried, I personally tried AA, I tried NA, methadone clinics, I tried relocating, I tried marriage, thinking that if I got married, that my problems would be solved. I basically tried every children, you know, here comes the first child into my life, and I thought, well, maybe that's what I need. But little did I know that wasn't the answer. I destroyed everything I put my hands on. And in 1988, I met a young girl. We were young, believe it or not, at that time. Now she's my wife. And she was on methadone. But another friend of mine had introduced me to my wife. And I was just her drug connection. It wasn't something that was sparked on right away. I think the spark was there from the beginning. I think she fell in love with me. No, just kidding. But the spark was there, and later on we romantically got involved, me and Jane. And we reached a point in our life where we were so desperate, so tired for change. Our life had become a mess. We had a young daughter that had been removed from us by CPS, and our life was a mess. I remember standing before the judge, because we decided to go and face the judge anyway and we were high that day, that morning, and we were there, and my hair was all messed up, and she took one look at us, and she said, "I would never turn this child over to you guys. Dijo, I give you credit for coming and showing your face here, but I would never grant you this child in the condition that you're in." and desperate for change, tired of the way we were living. Eventually, me and Jane walked into a program. We walked back into the same program I had been in years before. And I cried out to the Lord. I surrendered my heart. I was tired. By that time, I had spent about 9 years of my life behind bars. Tired of being sick and tired, I surrendered my heart to Jesus. And I kept praying for my wife, my girlfriend at that time. I kept praying for her because I could begin to see the struggle in her life. For her, it wasn't like me. With me, you know, it was lightning and God came and he touched me and it was like, oh my God. It was something that happened. I mean, it was an amazing transformation. And with her, it was different. With her, one day she just said she woke up and she just felt different. She felt the peace of God all over her. And, you know, it's been a journey. My walk with the Lord, I was there in the home for 9 years. And my wife was there 5 years. And after 5 years, she quit the ministry. I mean, we're training for ministry, even though they would never send us out. You know, we kept working and eventually we were separated. She came here and God told her to bloom wherever she was planted. The Lord planted her here in Impact Church under Pastor David and Sister Cindy. And the rest of the leadership, and she was here. And I remained where I was. It wasn't until 3 years later I came home. I was sick. And it's been a journey. But God is teaching, trying to teach us to stay connected to the vine. Amen? To stay connected. Because he's our life source. He's our everything. And eventually I came home. I was sick. Came here. We got married, but I was very, very bitter. I had a bitter experience where I was at, and I left the ministry very bitter. And it was a battle for 2-3 years. It was a battle back and forth. So finally, God began to show me how he could take me out. It was one day that I was praying, and the Lord said, Reuben, because I told the Lord, I didn't start ministry this way. There was a love, there was a passion for God, and there was a passion for people. I said, what happened to me, Lord? And the Lord said, you've been wounded. I heard the words clearly. And so I said, okay, now you're telling me what my problem is. Now I need a solution. And the Lord said, Reuben, the more time that you begin to spend with me in prayer, the more healing is going to take place in your life. And I begin to seek the Lord. I begin to set my heart to seek the Lord. And I begin to pray. And the Lord began to heal me from the inside out. He began to heal me. And the message that I'm about to share is a message that God gave me. I think it was a month ago that Pastor David told me if I would be interested in sharing in the church. And I said, yes, and then I was like, why did I say yes? I was like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. And then I said, okay, yes, okay. So I started praying and asking the Lord to give me a message that I could bring to his family. Because we're a family. We were bought into a family. And that's what I tell the guys in the home when they, all of a sudden a hard character comes in. And I say, this is the only family where you don't decide who comes in, who becomes your brother or your sister. Whoever God brings in, that becomes part of our family. And, you know, the message that the Lord planted in my heart is a message about, let's turn to Mark chapter 12. We're going to read verse 30, amen? We can read 31, 30 and 31. He says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these two. But the first commandment is that we shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. Amen. How many of you remember when you first got touched by the Lord? I can remember clearly. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the day that God touched me because like I said it earlier, it was powerful. The Spirit of God came upon me and I cried and I wept for 15 minutes. I did not understand at first what was going on in my life, but I knew it was a good thing Because for the first time in my life, I felt clean. Now, after I began to learn the Bible, I found out that God had cleansed me with the precious blood, and I felt clean for the very first time in my life. But not only that, I felt such a peace and a joy in my life. Amen. And there was a fire that God had placed in my spirit. But something happens as we continue in our journey. And that is what the message that God began to deliver, place in my heart about a month ago, is returning back to our first love. When you're born, we're passionate about God, but we also have to understand that there's two strikes against us, amen. And the first one is a fallen nature. We have a nature that is fallen. It's a fallen world. When sin entered the human race, now we have a fallen nature. And this is what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. So we have a resistance on the inside, but then we also have an enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And even though, yes, we are children of God, you know, we are, you know, he can only do what God permits him to do in your life and mine. But God, you know, sometimes we lose that. We stray from our first love. We allow the devil to come in and begin to stray from our devotion to God. There was a time when we prayed, we sought, we were in love with Jesus. Everywhere we went, we preached Jesus. We shared Jesus everywhere. I remember going to the streets in the ministry where God had bought me out of. I remember there wasn't a person that I would not share Jesus with. There wasn't a person that would intimidate me. There wasn't a person that I would shy away from, because I was so in love and so passionate about Jesus. I was passionate, and I was in love with what Jesus had done in my life, and I was in love. And this story, what basically Jesus is saying today is sometimes we lose that devotion to the Lord. Our prayer life, we begin to get sidetracked, and other things become more important than God. You know, and that is one thing that it's difficult. I remember me trying to explain to Janie when she go in to visit me one time in the home. And she wasn't in the home, she just went to go visit. And I remember telling her, I can't hug you, we're not married, I can't kiss you. She said, what do you mean you can't hug me and kiss me? I said, I can't do it. You know, I've given my life to Jesus. She couldn't understand. And when God saved her, she began to understand that it's something that God is a jealous God. And God wants all of our heart, not part of it. I always share with the homeboys, you're either all in or you're all out. There's no such thing as 90% or 75% of your heart. God wants it all. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. It doesn't say part of it. It says all of it belongs to me. I gave you my all on the cross when I was dying. It was my love for you that kept me on that cross. And when God saves a person from the beginning of time, you and I have a purpose in life. Now, I didn't know my purpose when I was running the streets. As a matter of fact, I remember shaking my fist at God and saying, why did you bring me into this planet Earth to suffer the way I'm suffering? Why did you bring me into planet Earth to be a drug addict, to live this life, the life that I was living? But that wasn't the life that God has chosen for me. I just didn't know God. I knew about God, but I had no personal relationship with God. I had no personal relationship with Jesus. And I remember coming to the home, and I remember getting saved and being filled with the Spirit of God. And I began to seek the Lord with all my heart. I remember I was so passionate about Jesus. And little by little, as we grow up, we begin to think that it's part of Christianity. Oh, but you know what, you know. Because I've heard people tell the younger Christians, just wait till you've been in the church 20 years, 15 years. And I said, oh my God, no. that never dies. It never dies. A passion for God, a fire for God. Only God can instill that fire and that passion. But God is saying we need to return back to our first love. There was a time where we were in love with Jesus. Our whole focus was on Jesus. I shared last night about the Samaritan woman. A few months ago, I was reading, I was going over it because the Lord led me to John chapter 4, the story of the Samaritan woman. And it was a story of a woman that had gone for years. She had gone to a well and for years because she understood that it was Abraham's well. She understood that. And so she would go trying to, she was searching, trying to find the answer. And she was not in a good place because she was with her fifth, she was with a fifth man in her life, and the fifth one wasn't even her husband. And all of a sudden, one day she has an encounter with a person, and the person of Jesus Christ, and her life was transformed forever. There was a dramatic change in her life. God had transformed her life for the first time, but it wasn't the well. The well is equivalent to sometimes when we go, we're looking for an answer. And I don't know if you first stepped into a church. I started going to church because I was looking for an answer. But it wasn't until I had an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ that my life changed, was transformed. It wasn't until I had that encounter. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop, or we continue. We continually, the Lord highlighted that word earlier in the year, because I was feeling dry, and I kept telling the Lord, "This is not how I started. I didn't start dry. I didn't start dead. You put a fire in my spirit, Lord." And the Lord began to show me, Reuben, you have to be consistent and persistent in your search for me. It never stops, Reuben. You cannot get sidetracked. You cannot go after other things. Now, other things, don't get me wrong. When God was creating the universe, when God was creating everything, it was for a purpose. It was for our own good use. God was building beautiful things for humanity. But those things were never to take our heart. Those things were never meant for them to grab our heart. They were meant for our use, not for them to consume us and go after material things and other things that will destroy our lives in the end. Those things were never meant for that. Those things were meant so that we could enjoy. There's nothing wrong with a nice vehicle, a beautiful house. There's nothing wrong. But those things are never to have a hold of our heart. There's nothing wrong with money. We need money in this world. But that money is not supposed to take a hold of our heart. Anything that takes a hold of our heart, God will not compete with. God will not compete with money. God will not compete with material things. God will not compete with your spouse. God will not compete with your children. God wants to be first place in your life and in mine. It's like when the guys first come to the home and they get saved, and man, I see a little fire in them, and I'm like, yes. But that's the first thing that I tell them. It's not in a girl. Take your eyes off the girl. Now, all that is fine and dandy. But that's not the answer. You've had a girl in the past. I told them last night, because a lot of times they come in, they want to work. I said, if work was the answer, then God would have never sent a savior. He would have sent an economist to fix the economy. Everybody would have had a job and everything would be fine. He didn't send an economist. He sent a savior to save us from our sins. And when we begin to put other things first in our life, the devotion for God begins to lessen and weaken. And I was sharing with a brother last night. He said, when you love the Lord, you're going to obey the Lord. That's what the Lord's been telling me. Obey me. You love me? Obey me. And okay. And so God bases my love for him on obedience, but the power of obedience. This is what the Lord showed me in Matthew. Chapter, I believe it's 7. We're going to start with verse 14. No, 24, I'm sorry. 7:24. He says, therefore, Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And I said, and I was sharing with a brother, I said, as you're obedient with the Lord begins to strengthen you from the inside out. When you begin to go through struggles and battles, you'll be strong enough to face the opposition. Why? Because you've been building upon the rock, because you've been obedient to God. And you've been building upon the rock. You're building your foundation will be strong, will be strong like a rock. Versus when we're disobedient to God. I look back at the times I fell off, and the Lord showed me it was disobedience. I was being disobedient to my Heavenly Father, and I began to seek my Father. I had lost my love for Him and my passion for Him, and I began to seek after other things, and before I knew it, I was off to the races. I was back. I was hooked on drugs again. I wound up going back 7 years ago. I went and did a year in TDCJ. But it was there that God began to speak to me, and God began to share His heart with me, and God began to tell me how He wanted to use my life, and, you know, and He wanted me to look at myself like He saw me, not like I saw myself. And I began to do that. I began to see myself as a child of God. I am. I'm not no longer the man I used to be. But God has transformed my life. He has changed my life. There's a passion for God. There's a love for God. And that's the message that God began to put in my heart a few months ago. How it's so easy to stray from that. It's so easy to... And you know, and praise the living God. Sometimes we don't go back like, you know, like me. But then the work of the Lord becomes burdensome. You know, there's a burden. It's not a prayer like the guys, I tell them in the home, you know, they come in and they want to pray. I see them praying by themselves and, oh, man, this is beautiful. But then later on, if we're not careful, it becomes a burden. You know, prayer time again, the Word of God again. And we can go through that routinely. And God doesn't want us to live our life routinely. We begin to, it's just routine, you know. Oh, it becomes burdensome. The work of the Lord becomes burdensome. And God doesn't want it to be burdensome. God wants it to be, God meant it to be light and not burdensome. God intended it for us to, it should be flowing out of us naturally. The life of Jesus. Jesus said, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That's why when I meet a guy that struggles with drugs, I tell him, you know what, man? You need to get hooked on Jesus, man. And once you get hooked on Jesus, you'll never go back to dope. Once you get hooked on Jesus, get hooked on Jesus. Why? Because I do believe, I do understand, I have lived that life. And I understand that when I'm passionate about God, man, there's nothing. There's no want in my life that I need that to be satisfied. God just comes and satisfies me. There's nothing that I'm not looking outside of God to be satisfied. And so many times it happens to us. We begin to look outside of God for satisfaction, and there's no satisfaction. Only Jesus can satisfy us. Scripture says, I think it's Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, that we were created by Him and for Him. That's the purpose of humanity, that we were called to be intimate and have an intimate relationship with Jesus. That's why we took on His name. Now we're Christians, amen? We took up the name of the Lord. But that's the purpose. The whole purpose is just to seek Him and let God lead us and guide us. It's His plan for your life. My plans never worked out. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the plans that I have towards you. But I was so set on my plans. I'll go to the home for a little bit, and, you know, and then, you know, I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to do just fine. But my plans never worked out. I had to come to grips with myself that God did not want to hurt me. Everything that God tells me to let go is for my own good, is because he knows better than I do. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start with verse 7. Okay. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. For what man is there among you whom his son shall ask him for a loaf will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And that is the Father's heart. The Father's heart is that he wants to give us things, good things that will help us in our walk with the Lord. He wants to give us good things. He says evil, I believe, compared, his comparison is to him. If you guys, you know, because sometimes I know that I've given my grandson, I'm raising him, and sometimes to keep him quiet, I'll give him something that really is not good for him, whether it's sweets or, you know. And God said, I'll never do that to you. I will never give you good things that will harm you. I want to bless your life. That's why I always tell people that, you know, I always tell the guys, you know, hey, you know, if you keep your eyes focused on the Lord and you keep yourself satisfied, everything that comes into your life will be, it's like an addition. Even my wife, I understand now, it's a blessing. Now I can receive the blessing, but you cannot go after things thinking that those things are going to satisfy you, because they're not. You're going to find out that they're not. You're going to find out that, hey, you know what? On the other side of the fence, no, the grass is maybe a little bit greener, but you still have to mow it. And so, you know, because deception comes. Pastor Troy said it, Brother Troy said it last week. The battle is in the mind, and that's where the deception, the devil wants to sneak in. And he makes good things, he makes things that are not good for us look good. Amen? Scripture says that he disguises himself as what? As an angel of light. That's why when they made, I don't know if you remember, when Will Hart was here, he made a prophecy? He prophesied over the home, but he also mentioned there were going to come good things. But they're not going to be good. You're going to have to check them out. And that is the truth, because we have an enemy that's trying to destroy our relationship with God and trying to make us miserable. The story of the Israelites to me is so fascinating, because they never came to a point where they understood the heart of God. They always thought that God was trying to hurt them. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 20 says, because they hated me, God had sent them to take a certain land, and they sent 12 spies. 10 of them came back with a bad report. 2 of them came back encouraged. We can do it. Believing the Lord, we can do it. We can take the land. And 10 of them came back, no, we can't. There's giants in the land. So the blessing that God was giving them became more like a trap than a blessing. And sometimes it is like that with life. Ew, is that God dealt me this card? No, God does not want us dry. God does not want us. God wants us filled with his spirit, filled with his wisdom, his love, his compassion. God wants to bless us with those things. God wants to bless our life. He's a good God. He's a good Father. And there's two things that the devil, I mean, there's more, but I'm going to share, just touch on these two things. One is idols, which we've already shared. Anything that becomes, whether it's sports, with me it's sports. God has dealt with me, because there was a time where I was just so into sports, and I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just sitting before the TV just watching sports. And God dealt with my heart, you know, that the sports had become an idol in my life. That I couldn't just sit in front of the TV and just let me, regardless of whether we watch bad things or good things, it doesn't matter. I mean, our devotion, what about our devotion? If it's robbing us of our devotion to God, then God sees it as wrong. Why? Because it's robbing us of our life source. It's robbing us of our relationship with the living God. It begins to rob us. And the second one that I shared last night was neglecting, just neglecting. We begin to neglect a little here and a little there. Amen. And we're going to look at, I think it's Proverbs 24. Real quickly, we're going to start with verse 30. It says, I passed by the field of the sluggard and my vineyard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down, the protection. When I saw, I reflected upon it, and I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. God began to show me how, you know, when I begin to neglect my walk with the Lord, things begin to, the beautiful garden that God has developed, because they call him the gardener, right? The beautiful garden that God has prepared here, thistles and all kinds of things begin to prop up. All of a sudden, there's a little resentment. All of a sudden, there's a little bitterness. All of a sudden, there's a little, you know, little things begin to pop up. And the Lord began to show me the what happens when we begin to neglect our relationship with God. He began to show me how, you know, things begin to pop up in my life. And I have to go back and let the gardener begin to weed them out. Let the gardener, Lord, forgive me. I allowed resentment to come into my heart. Lord, I don't want resentment in my heart. And the Father doesn't want us to walk around with resentment either. Amen. And so he begins to cultivate the garden again. And lo and behold, now, you know, we're back in relationship. And we're back where God can use us. Because it's true that God wants us, that God saved us to be intimate with him. But that's not the only reason. Because if it was, God would have saved us and taken us home. Amen? But he left us here on planet Earth because there's a plan and a purpose for your life. There's people that we still need to reach out to. There's souls that are lost out there, and God still wants to use our life. It's not just the pastors. It's not just the leaders of the church, but every single person has been called into the body of Christ. Every single person has a meaning. Every single person is important. That's what I tell the homeboys when they come in discouraged and they're full of doubt, you know, that God can use your life. No, God loves you, man. God loves you. God can use your life. God wants to use your life. Hey, man, just, you know, just surrender your heart to the Lord, and you're going to see. And the ones that do, man, you'll see. And, man, I was like, oh, my God, God's doing something great in this guy's life or in this girl's life. Right now there's 17 men in the home and two women. And I believe we have another woman coming in tonight, so keep us in prayer. Keep us in prayer that the Lord will continue to use the home as a lighthouse, that it will continue to use the home to provide a place where people can come in and be told about Jesus, and they can be set free from addiction, from anything that has them bound. Amen. And I want to share one more thing before I close out. You know what the beauty of it is, the Lord is, that the thief comes, because the scripture says the thief comes to rob us of our intimacy, of our love for Jesus. The thief comes and he robs us of whatever it is that he's robbing you of. He comes and he robs us. But the beauty of it is that Jesus made a way that we may recover it all. Amen? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to read 1 through 8 first. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and Ziklag and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, and the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall surely rescue all. Now I'm going to read 17 and 18. He says, and David slaughtered them from the twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. Amen. And there the Lord began to show me anything the thief comes in to rob us of, that God can recover it. God will say, pursue it, pursue me. You're going to recover it. Your first love, you're going to recover it. Your children that are lost, you can recover them. But it's going to be through me. It's going to be out of passion, a passionate relationship between me and you. And I'm going to go after whatever it is that the devil stole from you. I'm going to go after it. And that's where the Lord showed me that he can recover anything that the devil robs us of. He can recover it. And when the Lord placed it in my heart, when I saw it, I was like, yes, because it's a struggle. It's a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but as long as we stay connected to the bosom of the Lord, as long as we stay connected in relationship with God, there's nothing for us to fear. There's nothing for us to fear. Now, my fear is to move away from God because I know what can happen to me. But I know that as long as I stay in my prayer life, as long as I stay in my relationship with my God, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be okay because he's a good, good father. Amen. And he'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. And I understand that he's going to take care of me. Things are now starting to rise against the home. And I'll start worrying. And the Lord tells me, why are you worried? Everything's under control. Seek my face. I've got you covered. And that was a message that God placed in my heart. I pray that it was a blessing, that you received the blessing today. But I would really like to pray. I'd like to pray over you guys. And I'm going to pray. Father, I know it was a message placed by you in my heart, Father God. Because I know that in this time, to keep our eyes focused on you can be difficult, Lord, sometimes. There's so many things outside of you, Lord, that are tugging at us. There's so many things out there. There's so much things going on, Lord. And I just ask you, Father God, I ask you today that you would come, Lord, and that you would put that burning passion that we once had for you, that you would recover it, Lord, today, that you would recover that first love, Lord, because sometimes we leave our first love, Father God. And I just ask you that you would come, Father, come, Holy Spirit. We ask you that you come. There are people that are broken, I know, Lord. But I know that you can mend, my God. I know that you can come, Lord. I know that you can heal anything. I know that you can reach anyone, Lord. And I ask you to come, Lord. I ask you to come. The Lord wants us to stand. Pastor David is going to sing a worship song over us. But as he does, the altar is open. If you feel a tugging and that you have to come, Jesus said, repent and do the deeds that you first did. That's Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Thank you, Jesus.